Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 108. Here, O my Lord, I'd see thee face to face. Here would I touch and handle things unseen. Here, grasp with firmer hand the eternal grace, and all my weariness upon thee lean. Hymn number 108. The scriptural will be given by Wendy from South Carolina.
The Bible, Hebrews. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Colossians. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 151. In speechless prayer and reverence, dear Lord, I come to thee. My heart with love thou fillest. Yea, with humility, my bread and wine thou art. With thee I hold communion. Thy presence healeth me. Thy presence healeth me. Hymn number 151.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin each Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson and other subjects that need to be covered, and learn how to practice Christian Science better in our daily lives. And we had another really good one this morning. So if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. And you will also be able to find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 every Sunday. And that Sunday school is available to children everywhere. It has its own dedicated teleconference number. And many of our Sunday school students participate via telephone. They don't live in the area. And this means that if you don't live in the area and have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend our Sunday school. Just call us. We'll give you the number. And our Sunday school teachers will be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives changed for the better through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services, we have a nursery for infants and toddlers. So if you do come, bring the whole family. We have an outreach that consists of 17 different websites in 17 different languages. And everything that we offer on our websites is the very finest Christian Science literature. And it is free of charge. You can read, listen, download, print, anything that we offer free of charge. And we are so grateful for those of you who have found one or more of our websites and have found Christian Science through them. And I'd like to point out an article that's being featured now on our English website, entitled "Finish the Course Unswervingly" by Peter V. Ross. Excellent article, one we all need to take to heart. Recommend it highly. Everyone is welcome here, and that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now I'm going to read the tenets of Christian Science as provided by Mary Baker Eddy in the Christian Science textbook, page 497. 1. As adherents of truth, we take the inspired word of the Bible as our sufficient guide to eternal life. 2. We acknowledge and adore one supreme and infinite God. We acknowledge His Son, one Christ, the Holy Ghost or Divine Comforter, and man in God's image and likeness. We acknowledge, 3. We acknowledge God's forgiveness of sin in the destruction of sin, and the spiritual understanding that casts out evil as unreal. But the belief in sin is punished so long as the belief lasts. 4. We acknowledge Jesus' atonement as the evidence of divine, efficacious love, unfolding man's unity with God through Christ Jesus, the way-shower. And we acknowledge that man is saved through Christ, through truth, life, and love, as demonstrated by the Galilean prophet in healing the sick and overcoming sin and death. 5. We acknowledge that the crucifixion of Jesus and his resurrection serve to uplift faith to understand eternal life, even the allness of soul, spirit, and the nothingness of matter. 6. And we solemnly promise to watch and pray for that mind to be in us which was also in Christ Jesus, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, and to be merciful, just, and pure. And now we will have the reading of a testimony from our textbook, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Tom from Iowa.
Page 683, Prejudice Overcome. But I became interested in Christian Science somewhat over 3 years ago when in much need of help. I had never been strong, and as I grew older, I grew weaker, and at last became so ill that life was a burden to me. Science and Health by Mrs. Eddy was sent to me in answer to prayer, as I thought. I was a little afraid of all these new fads, as I thought them, but I had not read far before I felt that I had found the truth which makes us free. I was healed of stomach trouble, inward weakness, and bilious attacks. One physician said I might have to undergo an operation before I could get well, but thanks to this truth, I have found that the only operation needed was the regeneration of this so-called human mind by learning to know God. In many cases, I have been able to help myself and others. Words cannot express my thanks to Mrs. Eddy and to all who are bringing these great truths to the help of the whole world. E.E.M., Huntington, West Virginia.
The Bible and the science and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational spiritual import, an application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 4 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject, Sacrament. The golden text is from Amos. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you. The responsive reading is from Proverbs. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord.
All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits.
Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established.
Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished.
By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil.
The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul.
Day Day from Georgia will now read.
I will read from the Bible. 2 Chronicles. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan to repair the house of the Lord his God. Shilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess. And she answered them, And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest the words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbled thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me. I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimony and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And all the days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. 1 Timothy. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Matthew. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. 1 Peter. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speeches, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servant of God. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. James, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Man is tributary to God, Spirit, and to nothing else. Man reflects infinity, and this reflection is the true idea of God. God expresses in man the infinite idea, forever developing itself, broadening and rising higher and higher from a boundless basis. To reach the heights of Christian Science, man must live in obedience to its divine principle. To develop the full might of this science, the discords of corporeal sense must yield to the harmony of spiritual sense, even as the science of music corrects false tones and gives sweet concord to sound. While the heart is far from divine truth and love, we cannot conceal the ingratitude of barren lives. What we most need is the prayer of fervent desire for growth in grace, expressed in patience, meekness, love, and good deeds. To keep the commandments of our Master and follow his example is our proper debt to him and the only worthy evidence of our gratitude for all that he has done. Outward worship is not of itself sufficient to express loyal and heartfelt gratitude, since he has said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." The habitual struggle to be always good is unceasing prayer. Its motives are made manifest in the blessings they bring, blessings which, even if not acknowledged in audible words, attest our worthiness to be partakers of love. Hypocrisy is fatal to religion. A wordy prayer may afford a quiet sense of self-justification, though it makes the sinner a hypocrite. We never need to despair of an honest heart. But there is little hope for those who come only spasmodically face to face with their wickedness and then seek to hide it. If a man, though apparently fervent and prayerful, is impure and therefore insincere, what must be the comment upon him? If he reached the loftiness of his prayer, there would be no occasion for comment. If we feel the aspiration, humility, gratitude, and love which our words express, this God accepts. And it is wise not to try to deceive ourselves or others. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. We should examine ourselves and learn what is the affection and purpose of the heart. For in this way only can we learn what we honestly are. Self-abnegation, by which we lay down for truth or Christ in our warfare against error, is a rule in Christian Science. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So spake Jesus. The closet typifies the sanctuary of spirit, the door of which shuts out sinful sense, but lets in truth, life, and love. Closed to error, it is open to truth, and vice versa. The Father in secret is unseen to the physical senses, but he knows all things and rewards according to motives, not according to speech. To enter into the heart of prayer, the door of the erring senses must be closed. Lips must be mute and materialism silent, that man may have audience with spirit, the divine principle, love, which destroys all error. In order to pray aright, we must enter into the closet and shut the door. We must close the lips and silence the material senses. In the quiet sanctuary of earnest longings, we must deny sin and plead God's allness. We must resolve to take up the cross and go forth with honest hearts to work and watch for wisdom, truth, and love. Paul and John had a clear apprehension that, as mortal man achieves no worldly honors except by sacrifice, so he must gain heavenly riches by forsaking all worldliness. then he will have nothing in common with the worldling's affections, motives, and aims. Judge not the future advancement of Christian Science by the steps already taken, lest you yourself be condemned for failing to take the first step. The substance of all devotion is the reflection and demonstration of divine love, healing sickness and destroying sin. Our Master said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." If we wish to follow Christ, truth, it must be in the way of God's appointing. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." He who would reach the source and find the divine remedy for every ill must not try to climb the hill of science by some other road. All nature teaches God's love to man, but man cannot love God supremely and set his whole affections on spiritual things while loving the material or trusting in it more than in the spiritual. We must forsake the foundation of material systems, however time-honored, if we would gain the Christ as our only Savior. Not partially, but fully, the great healer of mortal mind is the healer of the body. The purpose and motive to live aright can be gained now. This point one, you have started as you should. You have begun at the numeration table of Christian Science, and nothing but wrong intention can hinder your advancement. Working and praying with true motives, your Father will open the way. Who did hinder you, that ye should not obey the truth? A Christian Scientist occupies the place at this period of which Jesus spoke to his disciples when he said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid." Let us watch, work, and pray that this salt lose not its saltness, and that this light be not hid, but radiate and glow into noontide glory. This being our communion service, I would like to invite the congregation to kneel in prayer and join me in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
Let's now sing hymn number 300. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. Saw ye my Savior? Heard ye the glad sound? Felt ye the power of the word? 'Twas the truth that made us free and was found by you and me in the life and the love of our Lord. Hymn number 300.
Thank you. to whom the Lord will have regard. He who is broken and has a humble heart, God is not impressed with the loftiness of man. For everything was made for him. It comes from his own hand. So humble yourself before your Lord and King. Give him your heart, offer your everything.
Let's now sing hymn number 90. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am thine, and thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Hymn number 90.
Thank you. I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.